distance 10 miles, switch from green grid to target orange.
Roger, ready for final bomb run check. Take over, AC.
Welcome to a Black Mask podcast. What we're going to talk about today is the Trump administration is discussing an attack by the United States on Iran's nuclear facilities. This is a very important event because if it does occur, all hell will break loose. Now, I want to be clear here. I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe that's a Trump negotiating ploy. By the way, the intro music is from Dr. Strangelove, and that was the B-52 bomb run in that movie. You probably don't. I'm old enough to remember when cars didn't have a seatbelt, so I'm old enough to remember that picture. Now, let's talk about this. Israel has won. It's a whole different game out there. Hamas has been defeated in Gaza. Hezbollah in the north is brutes, has been. The Houthis in Yemen are on their knees. Syria is up for grabs, and the Jews, again, with their next miracle, have reduced its ability to have a serious military reduced to rubble. This means that the Middle East has changed. By the way, I regard it as a miracle. The miracle of the interception of Hamas's and Hezbollah's rockets. The most important and significant event was the exploding pagers that basically destroyed the command control function of Hezbollah in Lebanon and allowed for them to be taken out without leaders and the continuing bombing of their 200,000 underground rockets that are pretty much no more. The other miracle, besides the pagers, was the biggest attack, 300 hypersonic missiles launched simultaneously in waves to attack Israel, and that was going to be the annihilation of the Jewish state. And believe me, that's what they had planned, with the militaries of Hamas and Hezbollah ready to go in and mop up what was remaining of those Jew bastards. Didn't quite work out that way, and now, as a result of Israel's counterattack, reducing Iran's ability to launch rockets to nothing, the manufacturing facilities destroyed, and most importantly, the destruction of their nuclear trigger mechanism. Now, I believe that Iran's very close to a bomb. Now, having a bomb that you can put underground in a tunnel and blow up to do a demonstration, a product demonstration, is relatively easy to do. To get a bomb miniaturized enough that it can be bolted to the top of a rocket and delivered to your enemy is quite a different matter. And the question there is the trigger mechanism, which has to be very compact. It involves an implosion with technological marvel, talk about rocket science, of shaped plastic explosives around the, in this case, enriched uranium ball to start the fusion reaction for the atomic weapon ignition. I don't believe Iran has that, and I don't think they're close. But I can tell you the great fear is that since they've lost their rockets, they've lost their surrogates in Hamas and Hezbollah, and they've lost their pathway to the Middle East through Syria, they're desperate. And intelligence says that they're racing to produce a nuclear weapon. So the thinking is, in the discussion among the Trump administration, is whether or not the B-52 bomber, which is the only thing capable of delivering the world's biggest bunker buster bomb to take out the underground facilities, will happen. I don't believe it will. But it is a major concern and something worth watching, because that changes the oil situation, that it changes the balance of power in the Middle East. That is a game changer. Now, what I do believe happening is that Donald Trump is going to force Hamas into a negotiation. See, Hamas was sitting pretty. With the Louis Lefty, liberal, gay, woke, dopes, and the people with the anti-Jew bastard agenda that pervades the Biden administration no longer there, that means Israel is free to do what it wants. This would have been over with a long time ago if people didn't believe the bullshit about the poor civilian casualties and all the babies dying in the hospitals, okay? Look, I'm going to put this to you. Okay, whether you accept it or not, that's the reality. When you put your people as human shields in hospitals, in bread lines, in convoys of food, okay? And you use that to move your militants, launch your rockets. That becomes a little bit target. And Israel has done so and eliminated them. Like it or not, agree with it or not, that's the reality. That war is a nasty business. And these are the most nasty people that are the enemies of mankind. And that's these Islamic radical terrorist states that wants their dream of Sharia law to become the norm around the world. They're done. So Hamas is about to surrender. Hezbollah is about to surrender. The situation with the Ukraine invasion by Russia, the situation there is, I believe, a negotiation is going to happen where Russia gets to keep what it's got and Ukraine is lucky to have what's left and everybody goes home. So I believe we're going to have what I call the Pax Trump world we live in, where these wars are wound down and we reset the needle. So that means that I do not believe that a combined attack or even a single attack by America or America and Israel on Iran is going to happen. I believe Iran is going to back down. I believe they're going to allow negotiators to take the center stage there. And I believe that the Atomic Energy Commission will be allowed to inspect the nuclear sites. And I believe that their bomb program will be put on hold. So that means that all this blow and go and concern about a war spreading throughout the Middle East is the old news. The new news is the enemies of Israel have been destroyed by no thing other than the miracle of the Jewish bastards winning again. Every time they've attacked the Jews, they've lost land, they've lost power, they've lost weapons. Every time there's a negotiation, they regroup and reformulate themselves because they are not going to stop. You have the savages, the enemies of mankind, drug-crazed criminals that want every Jew dead. And by the way, after they get done killing the Jews, they're coming after the Americans. So in essence, Israel's done the world a favor. So basically what I want to tell you is that the talk of a U.S. attack on Iran's nuclear program and or their oil export facilities is a non-event. It's not going to happen. That's critical. As you know, we've initiated a trade on Friday, envisioning the change in the world order, the change in the Middle East, the change in basically the oil market and how much the supply is and the supply from Iran. So bottom line is that although there's talk of an attack by the United States on Iran's atomic nuclear weapons program, it's not going to happen. An attack on the Iranian oil fields and their production and export facilities is not going to happen. And this will be negotiated. Hamas, bye-bye. Hezbollah, bye-bye. Syria, bye-bye. It'll take them another generation to regroup and reformulate themselves. They're not done. But Syria has been reduced to a non-combat state. Hopefully in Lebanon, the people will rise up, kick Hezbollah out, and rebuild their economy and their country. As far as Gaza is concerned, it will remain under Israel control. Hamas will be no more and never be allowed to reformulate. In other words, this is a victory party, my friends, a victory party. But you always have difference of opinions, and that's what makes markets such great things and so tradable, because when they get it wrong, they get it really wrong. Bottom line, the oil is not going to be disrupted. The Middle East will have the Pax Trump peace. The war in Ukraine is over.
Mr. President, I would not rule out the chance to preserve a nucleus of human specimens. It would be quite easy. At the bottom of the some of our deeper mine shafts, radioactivity would never penetrate a mine some thousands of feet deep. And in a matter of weeks, sufficient improvements in dwelling space could easily be provided.
How long would you have to stay down there?
Well, let's see now. Cobalt thorium G. Radioactive half-life of I would think that possibly 100 years.
You mean people could actually stay down there for 100 years?
It would not be difficult, mein Führer. Nuclear reactors could... I'm sorry, Mr. President. Nuclear reactors could provide power almost indefinitely. Greenhouses could maintain plant life. Animals could be bred and slaughtered. Quick survey would have to be made of all the available mine sites in the country. But I would guess that dwelling space for several hundred thousand of our people could easily be provided.
Well, I would hate to have to decide who stays up and who goes down.
Well, that would not be necessary, Mr. President. Could easily be accomplished with a computer. And the computer could be set and programmed to accept factors from youth, health, sexual fertility, intelligence, and a cross-section of necessary skills. Of course, it would be absolutely vital that our top government and military men be included to foster and impart the required principles of leadership and tradition. Actually, they would breed prodigiously, eh? There would be much time and little to do. But with the proper breeding techniques and a ratio of, say, 10 females to each male, I would guess that they could then work their way back to the present gross national product within, say, 20 years.
But look here, Doctor, wouldn't this nucleus of survivors be so grief-stricken and anguished that they'd, well, envy the dead and not want to go on living?
No, sir. Excuse me. Also, when they go down into the mine, everyone would still be alive. There would be no shocking memories. And the prevailing motion will be one of nostalgia for those left behind, combined with a spirit of bold curiosity for the adventure ahead.